Well, hello everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping our listeners hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and today we're back with a new series, a new session in our series, The Power of Eight. It's week 7, and we're glad you're with us because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We are in The Power of Eight, and today we're starting to take a look at the cross and what the cross of Jesus Christ actually means to you and me. It is the central figure, the central symbol of the Christian faith, the cross of Jesus Christ. What exactly did Jesus accomplish there? What did he do, and what are the implications of his achievement for you and me? And that's what we want to talk about the next 2 weeks. Now, I want to begin this with a passage out of 1 Corinthians 15, and Paul is giving to us the gospel, and he says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance." So Paul had received some information from God himself. It was all kind of extracted from the Old Testament scriptures and put together in such a way that Paul saw how the whole story fit together. And it all came together in Christ. So everything from beginning to end is all summed up in Jesus. And so he received this information and he passes it on to you and to me. And it's of first importance. This is essential stuff. I mean, there's no salvation apart from this story. There's no real life apart from this story. There's no hope apart from this story. So this is of first importance. And he begins this way, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. So the lead chapter of the good news story begins with death. And you wouldn't think that a good news story would start with the death of the hero, no. But that's how this good news story starts, with the death of Jesus Christ. But it's the fact that he died for our sins, that he died for your sins according to the scriptures. Now, when we see that phrase, according to the scriptures, most of us think about maybe Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. Maybe we think about Psalm 22 that talks about the crucifixion. And we limit according to the scriptures to those two passages. But I think Paul has in mind the whole story. I mean, I think he has the creation story in mind. He has the fall in mind. He has what God said to the serpent in mind, that he's going to be crushed by the seed of the woman. I think he has the Exodus story in mind. I think he has everything the prophets brought to the people of Israel. So Christ is dying in accordance to those scriptures, to the story of Israel, and how he is the fulfillment of that, so that we could experience release from sin and death through the forgiveness of sins. So Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now, to be really clear about this full story, you know, a lot of us think, okay, we've done some bad things. We know there's punishment that we deserve, and Christ stood in our place and took that punishment, and therefore we're pardoned. We're released from that punishment. And yes, that is the story, but he did that for a greater purpose. It wasn't just so that we could be forgiven people. It's so that he could reconcile us back to God. So we lost that relationship with God through sin in the garden, and this work of Christ on the cross is to remove the barrier so that we could be brought back to God and enjoy a relationship with him, so that reconciliation could take place. So Christ died to reconcile you to God. So why did he die? To reconcile you to God. Yeah. Now, what motivated him to do that? Well, God's love compelled this act of reconciliation in Christ Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God's love is the motivating, compelling force behind this act of Jesus at the cross. We also see in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So this death of Jesus is a demonstration of God's love for you and for me. So let's get that right up front.
Yeah.
Many people think God's just ticked at us, and that Jesus's act on the cross changed God's mind toward us. Well, when you read the scriptures, you see that's just not true. God loved us, and this work of Jesus on our behalf is a demonstration of that great love for us. Mm-hmm. So the story is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Why did he die for our sins according to the scriptures? To reconcile us back to God. So how did he do that? Well, Jesus's death reconciled all things to God, not just us, but all things, all of creation back to God. So when we fell in the garden, all of creation came under that curse.
Right.
And as Paul wrote in Romans 8, the creation is waiting for the redemption of the children of God. It's waiting for that time when we're going to receive our resurrected bodies, and the curse is going to be lifted from all creation.
Yes.
That is good news. So Jesus's death reconciled all things to God. And we'll read this passage, Colossians 1:19-22. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, that's Jesus Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So when sin entered into this world, peace with God was disrupted. So in our minds, we became enemies of God. Why? Because we believed that God was going to punish us. That's exactly what Adam and Eve did. They hid from God. Why? Because they were afraid.
Yeah.
And so that fear causes us to think of God in terms of our enemy. So that peace was disrupted. So he's made peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds,
right,
because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation.
You think that's good news?
I think that's a shout from the rooftops good news
there. It's the kind of news you hear every day on Basic Gospel, friends. It is Basic Gospel, and it's our Friday study, The Power of Eight. We're glad that you're with us. It's only because of the gifts of our faithful friends that we're able to be on the air and online and provide study series such as this, in addition to the irregular daily program Monday through Thursday, where we have the opportunity for you to call in and be a part of that. But nevertheless, if you're new to Basic Gospel, we hope you'll prayerfully consider supporting the ministry to help us continue to reach out with the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can donate now or anytime. Now is a good time at basicgospel.net, and we hope that you'll do that today. Again, just click donate at basicgospel.net. In the meantime, back to week 7 of our study series, The Power of Eight. And again, here's Bob Christopher.
The Power of Eight, and we're looking at the cross of Jesus Christ and exactly what the cross means to you and me. So it's the lead story of the good news story, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he died to reconcile us back to God. So in 2 Corinthians 5:18-19, we read this: all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So this starts with God.
Yes.
This isn't about us reaching up to God to be back in relationship with him. This comes from God. He desires to be in relationship with us. And so he acted on that desire, and he sent Jesus. So all this is from God. God initiates, we respond. That's something that we need to understand. God always initiates. That's what we call grace. We respond. That's what we call faith. So it's by grace through faith in Jesus. That is the story. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to experience new life in Jesus, if we're going to experience forgiveness of sins, if we're going to experience reconciliation, all of these things that God has for us, we respond to his initiative. That's how it works, by grace through faith. So all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. So Christ was the reconciling agent. Yeah. It was his work that brought this reconciliation about. And he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So you want to know what your task or your job is as a believer? It's to be a minister of reconciliation, to go out into the world and to tell the world that God has reconciled them unto himself through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And here's what that means, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Let's repeat that.
Yep.
Not counting people's sins against them. Should I repeat it one more time? That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are very quick to judge the sins of others. We are very quick to condemn the sins of others. It just seems like that's what we need to do. Whenever an issue is talked about out there that's affecting our culture and our American way of life, you know, Christians want to jump in and condemn mm-hmm. those acts and condemn those sins. Well, Jesus has already condemned sin in sinful man.
Yeah.
That happened at the cross. And he did that so that God would no longer count our sins against us, and so that we could go out and tell the world that God is not counting their sins against them. So we have some good news to tell to people. We don't have to focus on the sins. God already focused on the sins in Jesus. He already dealt with them once and for all. And that frees us up to just concentrate on this reconciliation aspect of the good news, that God wants to be reconciled to all people. And he brought about the initial act of reconciliation through the cross. He removed all barriers so that every person is free to respond to the grace of God and to be reconciled to him. So let's not be quick to judge, quick to condemn. Let's be quick to speak this message of reconciliation. Now in Romans 5:10, we read this, "For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life."
There it is, right there.
There's the whole gospel message summed up in this one verse. So Christ reconciled us to himself through his death while we were God's enemies. And it's this act that changes something inside of us to view God not as an enemy, but as a friend.
Yes.
And so when we receive this reconciliation, we receive his life, and that's where true salvation is experienced, through the very life of Jesus Christ.
Indeed.
But before that life could be given, Christ had to deal with the sin issue, the very thing that caused the separation to begin with, and in doing so, he reconciled us back unto God.
Yes,
that's
indeed.
Good news.
That is good news. And you quoted John 3:16 a few moments ago. John 3:17 says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved."
That's right.
I love to put those two together. Well, friends, with Bob Christopher, I am Bob Davis, and we're glad that you've joined us for this study session called The Power of Eight, and we're looking at the cross here at Basic Gospel. Remember that our study sessions are archived, and we hope you'll visit that archive and review any session that you like to, or fill in if you've missed any along the way. You'll find it at basicgospel.net/teaching. Again, that's basicgospel.net/teaching. And if you're benefiting from what you hear on this broadcast, well, please support this New Covenant message of love, grace, and life in the Lord Jesus with your gifts to Basic Gospel. You can donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net. There's a prominent donate link right there on the homepage. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net, and I think today is a great way, or in a great time, to do that. But now back to the Power of Eight, and we're looking at the cross here at Basic Gospel.
So God reconciled us to himself through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And it, the purpose of all of that was to bring us unto God. And we see that in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. So what was the purpose of the cross? The purpose was to bring you back to God, to remove all obstacles, all barriers that were preventing you from going boldly into the throne of grace. And he has removed all of that in Christ Jesus so that you can have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. So he reconciled you unto himself. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation, and we receive that reconciliation through faith. Mm-hmm. So it's by grace, God initiated in Christ. We respond through faith and receive this reconciliation, and that relationship that was meant to be from the very beginning is restored now in Christ Jesus. Now, for reconciliation to take place, that required total forgiveness of sins. You know, the sin issue had to be dealt with once and for all. Now, forgiveness requires the shedding of blood. That's just how God designed it. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. That's Hebrews 9:22. Now, what exactly is he saying here? Well, back in Leviticus, he says that the life is in the blood. So when he's saying that without the shedding of blood, without the forfeiture of life, there is no forgiveness of sins. And so Christ laid down his life on our behalf so that we could experience total forgiveness of sins. So Jesus Christ did what was necessary so that we could say we are forgiven people. Talk about love. Is love. Now, Jesus laid down his life or shed his blood one time for all sin. So back in the old covenant, when the sacrificial system was in place and was fully active, they did the Day of Atonement. That was an annual event. And that annual event was an annual reminder of sins. Mm-hmm. They were also able to bring sacrifices to the temple on a daily basis. And those sacrifices would be made by the Levitical priesthood, and they would experience some temporary relief from their guilt and from their shame. But they did that day in, day out, year in, year out. So it was constantly sacrificing for the sins of the people.
Yes, indeed. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody, and this is really good news Bob is sharing with us. Hope you're listening, taking notes, and we'll just continue.
Yes, we will. So Jesus Christ did not have to do that. He laid down his life once. He shed his blood one time for all sin. And we read this in Hebrews 9:24-26. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself now to appear for us in God's presence. Mm-hmm. So that tabernacle that Moses had the people build in the desert, that was a temporary structure that foreshadowed a real one in the heavenlies. The temple that Solomon built and that Herod refurbished in Jerusalem, again, that was something that was made with human hands, and it was only a copy of the true one. But Christ entered into heaven itself to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. So Christ only did this one time. He didn't do it again and again. It says otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. So was his sacrifice sufficient to forgive all of our sins?
Oh, yes.
The answer is absolutely yes. If it wasn't sufficient, then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation. And every time we sinned, he'd have to suffer again if we needed more forgiveness, if every sin required more forgiveness. Well, he died for all sin. He looked at all the sins in the past, and he bore those sins in his body. He looked at all the sins that were going to happen in the future. He bore those sins in his body, and he died to take them all away. Not some of them, but all of them. In Hebrews 10:11 through 12, it says this: day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Those sacrifices could not take away sins. They covered those sins, but they did not take them away. Right. But when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Why did he sit down? Because his work was finished.
It was over.
There was nothing more to be done as far as the sin issue was concerned. So what did the cross do? It dealt with the sin issue once and for all. There's nothing more to be done.
No.
As a matter of fact, in this new covenant in which we live today, there is no place for sacrifice to be made in this new covenant. He says, I'm going to remember their sins no more. And where these have been forgiven, there's no longer any sacrifice for sin. Why is there no longer any sacrifice for sin? Because the one sacrifice took away all sin for all time. Now, that's good news.
That is great news.
So Jesus had to do that. He had to lay down his life. He had to sacrifice himself for all sins so that we could be reconciled to God. Mm-hmm. So what does this mean? That all of our sins have been forgiven. Colossians 2:13, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. So how many sins did Jesus forgive of yours? All of them.
All of them.
He forgave all of mine. He forgave all of yours. John put it this way: I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. So how many sins have been forgiven? All of them. What does that mean? You are a forgiven person. Now, the moment you receive Christ, you received this forgiveness. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Mm-hmm. So when you receive Christ, what did you receive? The forgiveness of sins. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So as a child of God, what do you have? Forgiveness of sins, which means you are a forgiven people, a forgiven person.
Indeed.
Not some of your sins, all of your sins have been taken away once and for all. Why? So that you could be reconciled to God and could enjoy a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son.
And that is a good thing. Bob, thank you for these great insights in this study, The Power of Eight, and as we were saying, taking a look at the cross of Jesus Christ. Next Friday, another session, and friends, we hope you'll be here for that. But if you miss any of these study sessions along the way, you can find them in the archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. Again, that's basicgospel.net/teaching. Also, friends, we need your support for Basic Gospel as we bring the fullness of the grace and truth of Jesus Christ to the airwaves and online every day. Just click donate at basicgospel.net, and when you make your gift, we have something special to say thanks for your partnership with us in the gospel of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, you can make your gift right now or anytime at basicgospel.net. I think today would be a great day. Remember, too, that if you have a question about anything you hear on Basic Gospel or something of your own, our listener line is always open for you. Give us a call at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Or you can email your question to bob@basicgospel.net. Again, that's bob@basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back again on Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel, and we hope you have a wonderful weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.